Hey, I love what Pastor Brian said a few moments ago about we've won. He's our victory, amen? And I think it's so important for us to remember, and I want to talk to you this morning. Back at earlier in this part of the, earlier part of the year, we were on this series that you see these posters up here, that the blank of Jesus Christ changes everything. We had been filling in some of those words and had been preaching, then we spent some time away from that, and I want to go back to that again this morning about the blank of Jesus Christ changes everything, and I want to talk about God's mercy and His grace, and the mercy and the grace and compassion of Jesus Christ changes everything. And I think it's interesting for us to know, and this morning I'm going to draw your attention to Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, and if you'd like to turn there, Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13, and we're going to read some scripture there. So before I go to that scripture, most of you that have been around here for a long time have heard my testimony. You've heard me share about how God changed my life. And, you know, as a kid growing up and you know, I cut my teeth on the church pews. We were in church every time the doors opened. I had a very godly grandfather and grandmother. My mom was a Christian, and there was just a lot of things going on in our life. And my grandfather, when I was a kid growing up, lived in alfalfa. We actually lived out in alfalfa. It's a huge metropolis out here to kind of to our southeast, and I love alfalfa, you know, and I go out there every once in a while and pull up in front of where we used to live, and I cry, and I pull up in front of my grandpa's house and I cry, you know, because I remember things and I think about those memories and different things. So my grandpa worked for Central Oregon Irrigation District, and he was a ditch rider. And my grandfather's car of choice whenever he was doing his ditch riding job was a 58 Plymouth station wagon. And so when I was, before I was in grade school, and I went to the alfalfa grade school, and before I was in school, I would go with my grandpa on his job every day as he would go out and measure water to make sure all the farmers and the people there that were that had irrigation water had the right amount of water. And I would go out there, and I would ride around with my grandpa, and some of the things that I'd remember, my grandpa always talked to me about the things of God. You know, he was a very godly man. He would talk to me about the things of God. And he would say things like this. He'd say, you know what? God's got big plans for you one of these days. You know, and as a little kid, you wonder about that. And you kind of, you think, what is God going to do with my life? How is God going to use my life? And quite frankly, as a small boy before I was in school, I was more interested in water skippers and grasshoppers and what was growing along the side of the road than I was listening to my grandpa tell me how God wanted to use me someday. But I've gone back and I've thought about those days, and I remember then going to church, and I was raised in church, and I was probably about, oh, I'm thinking 7, 8 years old. We had a missionary that came. He was from Africa, and on the front of the platform, and we were in a smaller church, didn't have a platform as big as this, but there was like python skins and alligator skulls, and there was just like stuff that, you know, and the alligator skulls I kind of dug. The snake stuff I didn't like because I knew Jesus didn't like snakes, right? But I remember we were there on a Sunday night, and I remember at the end of the service, the missionary, he stood up, and the music people came back, and they started singing this song, and the song went like this. Jesus, use me. Please, Lord, don't refuse me. Surely there's a work that I can do. Even though it's humble, help my will to crumble. Though the cost is great, I'll work for you. And I remember as they were singing that song, the missionary said, I'm just going to ask you tonight, if you're willing and you have a willing heart and you just want to be used of God and just be faithful to do what God is asking you to do, I'm going to ask you to step out, and I'm going to ask you to come down, and let's gather around the front, and we're going to pray for you. And I remember stepping out on that day, and I was scared to death because I don't want to go to Africa. I don't want to go anywhere. I want to stay with my mom and dad. You know, and I remember I went up there with fear and trepidation, but there was something in my 7 or 8 year old heart that just said, Lord, I want to be willing to do what you want me to do. I'd continue to be with my grandpa. My grandpa would say, you know, God's got great things in store for you, and God's got great things that he wants to do in your life in the years to come, and you stay faithful to God, keep praying, keep believing, keep following Jesus, and he's going to do amazing things in your life. Well, those of you that have been around here for a while know that in my testimony, I tell you that my sophomore year of high school, I kind of checked out of church. I was kind of kind of done with church, and I came, but I just kind of sat with my arms folded and didn't really get anything out of it. And oh, just this might be a good reminder. How many of you know that you get out what you put into it? Right? Well, that was a little stiff. So, but it's true. You know what? We get out of whatever we put into it. Amen. When we come to church. So anyways, my sophomore year, I checked out. And so then I didn't serve the Lord, didn't really want anything to do with him. So I had graduated from high school, had moved to a different state, had moved to Washington and started going through a trade school and learned to trade. And then we moved to Salem. And when I moved to Salem, we were attending this big old church. It was a large church. And I think at that time they were probably running 2,500 or 3,000 on Sunday morning. And it was just a great place to hide. You know, I mean, I could go there. I kind of felt like I did my duty. You know, I'm not going to go to hell today because I showed up for church, so I get an extra point for that. You know, it's kind of my attitude. The pastor would always come out on Sunday morning and say, I got good news for you today. And I'm just like, oh, yeah, you do, big boy. You know, and I'm thinking, you know, we're all going to go where it's hot here in just a few minutes. And, you know, and that was just kind of my attitude. And all of a sudden, you know, God began to work in my life. And we had attended that church, and Gretchen and I were actually dating when I started going there. She was living in Salem and I was living in Washington. And we were going with her sister and brother, sister and future brother-in-law. They weren't married at the time. And they invited us to church and they said, you need to come. This place is great, you know, and I didn't think there was anything that great about it. So I just went and we were there. So anyways, as I listened to this pastor preach, he started talking about not so much about the thou shalt nots. And friends, I'm just going to say this right here. I believe in the thou shalt nots. Okay? We have to believe the thou shalt nots. It's our doctrine. It's who we are as Christians. It's who we are as believers. Okay? But he didn't preach so much on the thou shalt nots about the, he preached more on the thou shalt can. And what he talked about is what a privilege it is to be a child of God. What a privilege it is to be used of God, to do what God's called us to do, that we can enjoy God's presence, that we can enjoy our community, that we can enjoy God's the life that God has given us, that we can enjoy those things because God's favor is on us, God's hand is on us. Just like we sang this morning, God's fighting for us. We don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be ashamed, all these different things. And all of a sudden, I started listening to this, and something, and now I know it was the Holy Spirit, was grabbing onto my heart, and I started thinking this thought, and I started thinking, you know what? I like that God. I like him. And I wanted to serve him. But that dirty pastor, man, at the end of his services, he'd make people stand up. If you want to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to stand up right now. People would stand up. And that was okay. I was okay with standing up. It was the next step. Now what I want you to do is step out and I want you to come right here to the front. And I'm just like, and believe it or not, I was kind of shy. I was kind of introverted back in those days. And I'm just like, I'm not doing that. And then he would use this verse. And I just like, really? He'd say, here's what Jesus said. If you deny me in front of man, I'm going to deny you when we stand before my Father in heaven. And I was just like, God, I don't want to deny you, but there's like 3,000 people standing in this room. And it freaked me out. And I was just like, I don't want to do that. So I did what every good sinner does. I went to a different church. And the first Sunday that I was there, the pastor preached, and he did exactly the same thing. And I'm just, yeah, just like Ashley. Shoot. Only this time, I got up, and I stepped out, and I went to the altar. And I knelt down at the altar, and most of you know this story, but when I knelt down at the altar, I began to cry out to God and ask him to help me. And I felt somebody touch my shoulder, and I turned around because my wife wasn't a Christian. She wasn't saved, didn't grow up in church. And she was kneeling right beside me. And I'm just going to tell you, that day right there, God radically changed our lives. He radically changed our lives. And when I say radically changed, I'm telling you this. I just didn't want to do anything except put Jesus first in my life. I couldn't stay away from the church. You know, I couldn't stay away from any of the services. I couldn't stay away from whatever was going on. I stopped there every day after work. And I would just go in and I would talk to the pastor and I'd say, if there's anything that you need done, if there's anything I can do, I just want to help any way that I can. And I was just so thankful for what God had done in my life. So over this period of time, and I'm going somewhere with this, so just hang with me for a second. I know I'm boring you to death right at the moment. But over a period of time, you know, we started helping and we started working with youth ministry and being volunteers in the youth ministry and just kind of filling in and helping out. And all of a sudden, the Lord started talking to my heart and I started remembering those things that my grandpa told me. And I thought, you know what? God's got something different for me than just doing this trade that I'd gone to this trade school to learn. And the Lord really started dealing with my heart, and the Lord started kind of drawing me toward him. And as the Lord kept drawing me toward him, I started feeling like God was leading me in the direction of being a pastor and going into full-time vocational ministry. And soon as I started having those feelings, and I didn't know anybody in my life except the pastor that was a pastor. So I didn't know anything about it. I just, you know, it's unfamiliar territory to me. I didn't know how to do it. I didn't know what the steps were. I didn't know all the different things. So as I'm praying about this and as I'm dealing with this, this voice comes into my head, and here's what the voice says. God can never use you. You deliberately walked away from Jesus your sophomore year of high school. It was your fault. It wasn't his fault. It was your fault. And you can't serve him. You're not tough enough. You don't have it in you to serve him. You're not tough enough. You don't have it in you to do what he's asking you to do. You can't do it. And I listened to that. And as I was listening to that, I kept thinking, but what about how great God is and we're the victor and all the stuff that we sang this morning and what Pastor Brian said. And all of a sudden, I started thinking about the mercy and the grace and the compassion of Jesus. And I thought, wait a second. Okay, I'm just processing this. What about this compassion? Because I had always heard that when Jesus forgives us, and the psalm says this, that the Lord removes our sin and he puts them as far as the east is from the west. And I'm just like, that's God's mercy, that's God's grace, that's God's compassion. We didn't do anything to earn it. I didn't deserve it, I can tell you that. Okay? But I'm looking at my life and I'm thinking, why couldn't God use me? I'm not a drug addict, I haven't been an alcoholic, I'm not a chainsaw murderer, I just was living a life without God and I was a pretty good guy. And I'm listening to this voice telling me that I can't do it, and I'm thinking about this mercy and this compassion, and then I run across this scripture, and it's Proverbs 28:13, and here's what it says. People who conceal their sin will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. That is a great passage of scripture right there. Let me read it to you in the Living Bible because I like how it reads in the Living Bible too. It says, a man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. But if he confesses and forsakes them, he gets another chance. Aren't you thankful that God's the God of the second chance? And the third, and the fourth, and the fifth, right? This quote is from Rick Warren. Many of you know he's the guy that wrote The Purpose-Driven Life. But he said this, and I love this quote. He said this, God is always ready to give you another chance. It's the bedrock of Christianity. We've all been irresponsible, and we've all messed up. And I love that. And I thought, that's exactly how my life was, how that fits in my life. And friends, can I just tell you, we still mess up. We still do irresponsible things. Even when we're Christ followers, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But here's what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 20. It says this, not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Did you hear me? Not a single person on earth is always good and never sins. Another scripture that fits right along with that is 1 John 1:9. And 1 John 1:9 says this, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, this is the very same biblical truth that is stated in another way. Yet in the first John passage, it states this truth really with only a positive result. In other words, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay, I thought you were out there. But the thing with this verse in Proverbs 28:13, it also warns us about not dealing with our sin and the consequences of not dealing with our sin. And what does it say? Here's what it says again. People who conceal their sin will not what? Prosper. That's a big deal, okay? But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. So as we look at this, and as I started processing and going through this stuff, even in my own life, I'm thinking to myself, you know what? Then I need to spend some time in deep repentance. And that's just a word that, I mean, repentance, deep repentance. What do I mean by deep repentance? That's a good question. Deep repentance. Deep repentance means that I really did take time to search my heart. I really did take time to get serious with God. I really did take time to quiet myself, to listen to the Lord and ask him, is there anything in me that needs to be cleaned up? God, show me if there's stuff in my life that needs to be taken care of, because Lord, I want you more than I want anything else. I want you more than I want anything else. So I started going through this time of repentance and asking the Lord, God, can you use me? God, I want my heart to be right before you. It's interesting because the first thing that we're told in this passage of Scripture is the fate of those who conceal their sin. The very word conceal means to cover up. It has the idea of cover up. This is a person who is hiding their sin or their rebellion against God's law, against God's way. It's the kind of person that's not willing to admit or to bring their sin to light before God. It's the person who hides their rebellion thinking that God doesn't see it. Now, when our grandkids were younger, I remember one of them was in the kitchen and we were all in the living room and their mother had said, "Where are you?" And they came out and they weren't supposed to be in there and they had told them not to go in there. And when they came out, they had their hands over their face like this. And it was kind of like, that if I can't see you, you can't see me. Now, I think we do that with God sometimes. You following me? I think that sometimes because of our sin, we put our hands over our face and we think if we can't see him, he can't see us. And friends, that's simply not the truth. We know today, and we know very well that trying to hide our sin is counterproductive because we serve a God today who is omniscient. What does that mean? He's all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows what you had for breakfast this morning. He knows how many hairs are on your head. The Bible says that. He knows everything about you. He knows your thoughts. He knows your innermost thoughts. He knows everything about you. He knows everything. He knows what's going on in your head right now when you're saying, "I wish this guy'd hurry up," okay? He knows all that, okay? But we try and hide it, and we think to ourselves, if we hide our sin, God can't see us. So let me just say this. Adam and Eve sinned in the garden. What did they do? They hid. And God came down, and can I just tell you, when God came down and asked Adam and Eve where they were at, he knew exactly where they were at, okay? He knew where they were. When Cain killed his brother Abel, God knew what happened. And remember when God asked Cain, he says, "Where's your brother?" And he said, "Who am I?" I mean, he was kind of snarky about it. "Am I my brother's keeper?" Like God didn't know what happened. And what does the Lord say? The Lord said to him, "I can hear your brother's blood crying out from the ground." You know, we think about Moses, and Moses is a Hebrew, and because of the Pharaoh's order to kill all the male children, the firstborn male children, or the male children, his mom put him in a thatched basket and sends him into the Nile River because it's safer there. Right? It's safer to be around the alligators and the pythons and than it is to take your chance with the Pharaoh. But God saved Moses, and he was raised in Pharaoh's house by Pharaoh's daughter. And then he goes out one day, and he sees an Egyptian man beating a Hebrew. And what does Moses do? He kills him. And he hides him in the sand. And then the next day he comes out, and he goes, and he confronts this other Egyptian. And he asks him, why you're beating this guy? And this guy says, well, who are you? You know, you're coming out here to tell me what to do. You just killed some dude yesterday. You know? And I mean, God sees all this. Then I'm thinking about the sin of Achan. You remember Achan back in the Old Testament? And remember when they took the city and they were crossing over into the promised land, and they said that all the valuable stuff is to go into the priest's hands, and they were keeping all this. And the command was that they weren't to take anything. And Achan takes a robe, and he takes some money, and he hides it in the ground underneath of his tent, like God doesn't know. And then God comes. I know this is kind of my paraphrase of this, okay? You can go back and read this. So God says, you know, they all of a sudden they get destroyed, you know, the Hebrew children, you know, they got attacked and got destroyed, and they're just like, what's going on? And God says, there's sin in the camp. And they're saying, what do you mean? And he says, get the clans together, and they're going to come before him one by one. Could you imagine that? I mean, really, could you imagine it? I mean, we've got all these families in this room this morning. We'll call you clans because that's what they called them in the Bible, okay? Here's all the families. You're all sitting in here this morning, and God comes, and he says to the leader, and he says to them, march them clan by clan in front of me, and I'll let you know who it is. Remember, this is my paraphrase. So they're sitting there, and here they come, clan by clan. And the whole time, you know, they're sitting there waiting, and they're like, you know, and here they are. They're marching them in front of them. And all of a sudden, Achan's clan, it's Achan's turn. Can you imagine what was going on in Achan's heart? Seriously. I mean, he's probably brushed his teeth that morning. He's probably put on his best clothes. He's probably done everything that he's supposed to do. And I mean, he probably looks sharp. He's told all the kids, put clean clothes on, brush your teeth, get your hair done, make sure everything looks good. We need to look good when we present ourselves to God today. And he's probably shaking in his boots. I want you to think about this. And he comes, Achan's clan, and as Achan's clan comes in front of him, the Lord's like, this is him. And they're like, stop. And they're probably freaking out. And all of a sudden, the Lord says, this is them. And the question is asked to him, what have you done? And there were consequences for that. And friends, what I'm trying to tell us this morning is so many times we do things and we have this stuff in our life, and because nobody else sees it, because nobody else knows, we think that we can hide it. And what I want you to know this morning is that all is seen by God. All of it is. There's nothing hidden. So what does that have to do with what we're talking about right here? Because this is what the Bible says. The man or the person that conceals their sin will not prosper. And this morning, I love you enough to tell you that I want you to prosper in your life. So I go into this deep repentance, and I begin to repent before the Lord, and I said, Lord, show me if there's stuff on the inside of my heart, Lord, because I want to prosper. I want my life to be, Lord Jesus, something that you can use. And friends, I had no idea I was going to be a preacher. I just didn't know that at the time. You know, I didn't know what I was going to be. I would have been a fine floor covering installer. I would have been just as happy doing that and being used of God as being in the pulpit. I'd have been just as happy. But I knew that God had something different. But I wanted God's blessing on my life, and I want God's blessing on your life. I wanted to prosper. I want you to prosper today. See, I want our lives today to represent who God wants us to be. In Psalm 32, verse 5, it also speaks of this particular sin of hiding and trying to cover up sin. The psalmist said it like this: finally, I confessed all of my sin and I stopped trying to hide it. I stopped trying to hide my guilt. And I said to myself, I will confess my rebellion to the Lord and you will forgive me, and all my guilt is gone. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. So how is that working in my life? Because the devil's speaking in my ear when God's dealing with me about what his next steps were for me. The devil kept telling me, you're not good enough. You deliberately quit serving the Lord. You deliberately turned your back on God. How can God use you now? And because at that point in my life where that voice was pretty loud in my life, because I wasn't used to listening to the voice of the Holy Spirit, I believed it. And I thought, you know what? There's no way God can use me. And I had this guilt and I had this shame and I had this condemnation that the enemy is trying to put on me. And friends, can I just tell you, then you discover verses like Romans chapter 8 that says, there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who are walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So there's deep repentance of just asking the Lord, Lord, show me. See, Proverbs tells us that we're not going to prosper if we try and conceal our sin. That word prosper is the Hebrew word salak. And it means to advance, to prosper, to make progress. It has the idea of breaking free or breaking through. It's like a military term. It has a military aspect to it. It speaks of how an army would break through the enemy lines and that they would be overcomers. They would have victory and they could see the breakthrough because they could see how the strongholds were coming down around them. That's what it is to prosper. It's to see that our sins in our life don't overcome us. And beyond that, we won't prosper spiritually. And if this is all that this proverb said, here's what we know. It'd be great counsel from God, because this is God's word. It'd be great counsel from God, but it also leaves us with a warning. Because God doesn't want us just to receive correction. He also wants us to have wise counsel, and he gives us wise counsel. The Lord wants us to confess, and he wants us to turn from our sin because he wants to prosper us. And when we choose to rebel and sin against God, we're in serious trouble. Because if we continue to do that, we're not only facing judgment if we don't know Christ, but also we're facing godly discipline if we do have a relationship with Jesus. We need his grace. We need his compassion. We need his mercy. And that's exactly what this proverb is teaching to us today. So how do we receive God's compassion? How do we receive his mercy and his grace? First of all, we have to confess our sin and our rebellion. Here's the word that God's word uses to describe confession. It's the word yada. And here's what it means. The word means to throw towards or to cast something toward. Here it means throw off our sin and cast them toward God. Because friends, God's the only one that can cleanse our sin. He's the only one that we can find forgiveness in through Jesus Christ. If we cast it toward him and we desire to follow him, he shows us forgiveness and he shows us compassion. The same word is used for praising God. So not only are we casting our sin away and casting it toward God, but we're casting our hands up and praising the Lord for his goodness to us, for his mercy and his great grace. The second thing that we see in this of receiving mercy and compassion is this, is that we have to forsake our sin. We have to forsake our sin. What does that mean? It means that we have to abandon it. We have to leave it. If we're not careful, we can believe that all we have to do is confess our sins and everything is fine with God. And I just want to say that it's true that confession is a very important part of receiving forgiveness. But there's also a second part that is just as important. And that is that we have to turn and walk away from our sin. That's what the word repentance means. It means to turn and walk the other direction. Friends, listen, I can tell you this morning that I am probably more sick and tired than anybody else, the rest of the room, because I'm kind of a news junkie. But can I just tell you that the Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out. Every day we turn on the news, what do we see? People that have been brought up on charges for embezzling money. People who are trying to hide their sin in political arenas today. I mean, we're finding out about things that happened years ago, and all of a sudden it's come to light. that there are people that have been murderers that have gotten away with it for years, and then all of a sudden through DNA and different things, all of a sudden it's found out. And we think to ourselves, nobody's ever going to know. And we kind of live our lives like nobody's ever going to know. Friends, I can just tell you this, that the only person that it's important that you know that knows is God. Because he's the one that can bring forgiveness to our hearts. But he wants us to turn and walk away. The problem that I have today with repentance, I don't know if I worded that right, but just let me say this. Sometimes I wonder if people really repent or they're just kind of ticked off because they got caught. So I have to be sorry because I got caught now. Friends, if that's the attitude that people have, that I got caught, I can tell you this, you're going to walk right back into the same thing again. But if we're deeply repentant and we turn and walk away from it, here's what we're saying to the Lord. Lord, I don't want anything to do with that anymore. I want your blessing in my life. I want to prosper. I want you to use me for your purposes and for your plans. And God, whether that's a floor covering installer or whether I stand behind a pulpit and preach the gospel, whether I go to Lower Samboli or Africa to be a missionary, God, I don't care. I just want to be used of you. I just want to have a willing heart to say, Lord, use me. I just want a willing heart to say, God, whatever it is that you have for my life, that's what I want to do. Turn and walking away from our sin is very important. And when we truly repent, it leads us as people to say, I've sinned and I'm going to prove it with a 180-degree change in the direction that I'm walking. In other words, I'm not doing that again. But repentance, when we have that deep repentance that I talked about a while ago, what does it do? Friends, I really believe with all my heart this morning, and I'm almost done. What is so funny about that? I'm serious. I mean, I can see my end on my screen right here. Here's what repentance does. Here's what repentance requires. It requires true brokenness. We really have to be broken about what's happened. We have to be broken about it. And friends, listen, I've said before, my sin, I wasn't hanging out in bars all the time. I wasn't a womanizer. I wasn't a carouser. I wasn't, you know, doing drugs. I wasn't any of that kind of stuff. That wasn't me. That wasn't my life. I was just away from God. I didn't want him. I thought I could do it on my own. And there's something about true brokenness that whenever I came to that place of true brokenness of saying, Lord, I am not my own. And that's what the Bible says. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. And the price that you've been bought with was the precious blood of Jesus Christ. True brokenness. Lord, I'm sorry for what I've done. I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, I repent. And we have true brokenness. How do we know that? Psalm 51, verse 17. Remember this story is when David committed adultery with Bathsheba. And here's his prayer of repentance in Psalm 51. He says, the sacrifices that you desire is a broken spirit. You will not reject a broken and repentant heart, O God. And friends, can I tell you? That's exactly right. If we have a broken and a contrite spirit, a broken and a repentant heart, God won't turn you away. The second thing repentance does is this. Repentance is not asking the Lord for forgiveness with the intent to turn around and sin again. And I think that's an interesting thing because here's the deal. Well, man, if God's so full of mercy and grace, I can continue to do this, and every time I ask for forgiveness, he'll forgive me. Well, Paul dealt with that, didn't he? And it was back in Romans. It's in Romans chapter 6, and I think it's in verses 1 and 2. And Paul talked about that, and here's what he said. Do we go on and continue to sin just so grace can abound? And then what does he say? God forbid. He goes, no, don't do that. If you've turned away from that, then stay away from that. Okay? Stay away from it. Third thing is repentance is an honest, regretful acknowledgement of sin with a commitment to change. Psalm 51 again, verses 1 and 2. Have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sin. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin, for I recognize my rebellion. Then in verse 10 it says this, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew and I love this, renew a loyal spirit within me. Who's my loyalty to? It's to the Lord, isn't it? Number four about repentance is this, is repentance leads us to cultivate godliness while putting an end to the habits that lead us into sin. Man, can I just tell you that we know what our sin triggers are. If it's something that you read, then get rid of it. If you're something that you're watching, get rid of it. If it's something that you're doing, quit it. You know, it's that simple. You know, we know what our sin triggers are. We know what those things are that cause us to sin. We know what those things are in our life. And friends, what the Lord is saying is true repentance means that we turn, we walk away from it, we go 180 degrees in the opposite direction. I don't want any more of that. I don't want a part of that anymore. I want my life to be different. Repentance, it means to abandon, it means to desert, to leave behind, completely neglect and stop. So when we come to God seeking his compassion and his forgiveness, we need to come with a heart that says, please forgive me, God, and I also want to forsake and abandon my sin. This is the kind of heart that finds compassion before God, because compassion means that God shows us mercy and a deep, kindly sympathy. Why does it say that? Because God knows we can't do it on our own. And that's why he's empowered us by the power of his Holy Spirit to live godly lives every day. That's why when we come to Jesus and we have repentance and we ask Jesus to come into our heart, then every day, then we listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit, because the Bible says that the steps of a righteous man, the steps of a righteous woman are ordered of the Lord. And when we read God's word, we find out what God's purpose is for our life. We find out what God wants us to do. He puts our feet on the path. He begins to direct our path. And friends, as he begins to direct our path, sometimes we stray off the path. And what the Lord wants us to do is to get back on the path. Now I can go outside and I can get in my truck, and some of you have heard me use this before, but it's good, so I'm going to use it again. In your car, in my car, I can get in my car and I can turn the steering wheel all the way to the left. And if I'm sitting at the stoplight, the people behind me are going, where's he going? He's coming around again. Look at him. Or I can turn it all the way around the other way. And people are going, what is that guy doing? Look at, he's turning around. Here he comes again. I have never driven like that. I mean, seriously, when is the last time that you did 360s in your, well, other than on ice or in the snow last winter? I'm just saying, when is the other time that you purposely drove in 360s in your car? I mean, do you just do that in the afternoon? You say, I think I'm just going to go out and do some 360s in my car right now. No, we don't do that. Here's what we do. We get in our car, and you know what? I turn about that far to drive off my street onto another street, and then I bring it back. And when I get ready to turn the other corner, I turn like that, and I bring it back. It's to make little minor adjustments. It's not to drive in circles all day. Okay? To make minor adjustments. So the Holy Spirit in our life, what is he saying? Listen, you're getting a little bit off track. Bring it back. So we just steer it over a little bit. Listen, you're getting off track this way. Just bring it over just a little bit. See, that's how the Holy Spirit works in our life. And friends, can I just tell you what? This right here is when we're tempted to go around the other direction again and say, you know what? I'm going to move away from the things of God. Don't do that. Just listen to the voice of the Spirit. Make those subtle adjustments that the Lord wants you to make in your life. See, this verse, I really believe this verse that we read in Proverbs is the key to knowing fellowship and grace from God. And it's so important for us to grasp the call of God and that we deal with our sin and our rebellion, because I really believe in 1 John 1:9, in this verse, that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us. But this verse in Proverbs as well, because friends, if we could hear this and heed it well, believe me, God's heart for you today is to prosper you, not to hurt you. God's desire for you today is to show his compassion, his mercy, and his grace. He wants to pour it out on you every day. We talk about prosper. And you know what? As a preacher, sometimes I don't even want to use words like that anymore because they've been taken so out of context. I want to tell you what prosperity is today. It's not how much money you have in your pocket. It's not how cool a car you're driving. It's not how big the house that you're living in. Friends, to prosper spiritually means that you've got God's blessing on your life every day. That he's leading you, that he's directing you, that he's blessing your life. That's prosperity. To know that I don't have to worry about my sin. I don't have to worry about my rebellion. It's under Jesus' blood. I'm walking toward the things of God. He's prospering me. He's helping me today. He's prospering me. He's wanting me to live for him, and I can walk in victory today. So I don't have to listen to that voice anymore that says you're not good enough. You're not going to ever be good enough. There's no way that you can ever do what God wants you to do, friends. And I'm telling you that for you today. You can do what God's wanting you to do. You can prosper today. You can walk away from your sin. You can live a victorious life. You can be the person that God wants you to be. You can do all of that and more because of who he is in your life. And for that, we have victory today. And friends, listen, we win. We win. And that's a big deal. We win. So how do we know? Because here's what we know today. When God forgives, he forgives instantly. The very moment that we admit our sin to God, he forgives us. The second thing that I just love about forgiveness is this, is that God forgives us freely. Because I sure didn't earn it, I can tell you that. And I certainly didn't deserve it. But he forgives us freely, and God forgives us completely. He completely wipes our sin away and gives us a clean slate, and I'm thankful for that today. So Jesus, thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you today that you are the forgiver of sin. And Lord, my heart's desire today is just to see your people today that are sitting in this room prosper. God, that you would prosper them. God, that they can live godly, holy lives before you today. That God, that they would know that your hand of blessing is upon them, that they don't have to guess anymore whether they're pleasing you or not, that they would know and have an assurity down on the inside of their heart that they belong to you. God, that we no longer have to walk in fear of punishment because, Lord, we've given it all to you. And Lord Jesus, your word declares to us that perfect love, and God, your love is perfect, casts out all fear. So Lord, help us to walk with you. Help us to surrender our lives to you. Jesus, I pray that you will help us to walk through that repentance process. And God, sometimes it's not easy. Because Lord, sometimes there's things that are hidden down deep on the inside of us that we think nobody knows. And Jesus, you're saying, I want to help you with all that. So God, I'm just going to ask today. I'm just going to ask today that we would just have willing hearts. That we just have willing hearts. And Lord, we're not going to sing the old song, Jesus, use me. Please, Lord, don't refuse me. But Lord, in the same way, when I was a 7 or 8 year old little boy, and I remember that missionary saying, if you just have a willing heart to let God do in your life what he wants to do, I want you to stand. And friends, I'm going to ask us to do the same thing today. If you just have that willing heart, I'm not going to ask you to come down, but I am going to ask you to stand. Of just saying, Lord, I have a willing heart. And I don't know what your purpose is, and this is what Pastor Brian said a while ago. I don't know what your full purpose is for my life, but I'm willing to give it to you and to let you use me. God, thank you for the honesty of the people in this room today. Lord, thank you for the honesty of our hearts. And Jesus, I pray that you'll meet them where they are today. God, if there's repentance that needs to be taken care of today, that we would do that. Because, Lord, sometimes we build walls. You're not the wall builder. We're the wall builders. But, Lord Jesus, you're good at tearing the walls down. And I thank you for that. Lord, I don't want there to be anything between us and you today. I don't want anything between any person in this room and you today, Jesus. I just want them, Lord, to be close to you with nothing dividing them. And Lord Jesus, we know today that what separates us from God is our sin. So Jesus, simply today, we ask you to forgive our sin. And I can't do that for you, friends, but you can do it for yourselves. And I'm just going to ask you to pray that prayer. Jesus, that you'll forgive my sin today, that you'll cleanse me, that, Lord, that you'll put your touch upon my life and help me to walk with you every day. And if you pray it and you confess your sins, the Bible says he's faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Jesus, I don't know what's in store for all the people that are standing in this room, but Lord, you know. And God, I pray today that you'll prosper them. I pray that you'll bless them. That, Lord, that you'll direct them. That they would listen to the still small voice that you've placed on the inside of them, and that, Lord Jesus, they would walk the way you've called them to walk. That they would walk the direction that you've called them to go. And that they would hear you. So, Lord, would you bless them today? God, I pray that you'll encourage them today. And Lord, I believe with all my heart that there are people in this room that were just like me and are just like me. That, Lord, the voice of the enemy has been too loud in our ears that said that you could never use us. And God, I just come against that right now in the name of Jesus. Satan, you're a defeated foe, and we just bind you right now. You get your hands off of God's people, you get away from them right now in Jesus' name. Lord, we declare victory in their lives. God, we declare victory in their situations that they're facing today. God, we declare victory in them today. And we praise you and we honor you for it. So God, I pray today that, Lord, even as we sang a while ago, that, Lord, you'll put courage where there's fear. That you'll put strength where there's weakness. God, that you would empower your people to be mighty in their relationship with you. That, God, we can be who you've called us to be. And that, Lord Jesus, that you're going to direct our path. And that, Lord, that we're going to willingly follow. And, Lord, we trust you for it. In Jesus' name. So, God, I pray that as we conclude our time together today, that your name would be glorified, that your name would be lifted up. I pray that, Jesus, that your Holy Spirit would continue, Lord, just to fill us to overflowing with your presence and your power. And Lord, we look to you and we thank you today. And so, God, I pray that you'll bless these as they go today. I pray you'll bless them this week as they're on their jobs. And God, I pray over those that are vacationing right now that, God, that you'll rest them, refresh them, give them traveling mercies, bring them home safely. And God, I pray also that, Lord Jesus, those that are getting ready to travel and take some time away, and we all need it, God, that they would take some days just to rest and refresh. God, that maybe you would give them some time to reflect again, Lord Jesus, on just who you are and how good you are to us. God, you are good to us. And Lord, we thank you for it. So Lord, bless them today. And we thank you and we praise you in the precious name of Jesus, who is our Savior and our Lord. Amen. Amen. Hey, God bless you today. Appreciate all of you. I love you. And if you need prayer this morning, Roy's here to pray for you. And don't forget the things going on over with Pastor Jeff and Kim over in the other building. We'd love to have you stay, but God bless you.